All right, well, today we're going to take a look at a very important time in the history of the Bible, the history of Israel. We're going to talk about Deborah and Barak. Now, the history of Israel in the time of the Judges is summed up in the last verse of the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we know, brothers and sisters, that when men take no warning of the word of God and go their own way, they always end up bringing trouble upon themselves. And so it was with Israel. All the days of Joshua and all the days of the leaders who had been appointed by Joshua, Israel served Yahweh. But the next generation who had not seen Yahweh's miracles forsook the God of their fathers and worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth, the gods of the heathen nations around them. And we find this in Judges 2, verses 7 to 13. And it's good that we turn that up, because it's exactly what Joshua told them would happen just before he died. So Judges chapter 2, verses 7 to 13. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of Yahweh that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not Yahweh, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh and served Balaam. And they forsook Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahweh to anger. And they forsook Yahweh and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Yahweh was against them for evil, as Yahweh had said, and as Yahweh had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, Yahweh raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahweh, but they did not so. This made Yahweh very angry, and instead of the peace and happiness he had promised Israel if they obeyed him, they suffered at the hands of the heathen, because Yahweh no longer fought for them. So what was the cause of Israel's sufferings? How soon they forgot their promise in front of Joshua, when they said, and we'll look at Joshua 24 now, and verse 24. So this was their promise in front of Joshua. And the people said unto Joshua, Yahweh our Elohim we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute. But instead they quickly learned the ways of the wicked people of the land and soon were no better than they. When Israel departed from Yahweh's way, Yahweh departed from them. And they found that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Their enemies grew stronger and Israel grew weaker, because they didn't have faith in Yahweh anymore. The Canaanites treated them cruelly, and then they remembered Yahweh and cried unto them to save them. He was merciful and gave them judges, leaders, by whom he delivered them. During the lifetime of the judge, Israel served Yahweh. and were delivered from their enemies. But when the judge died, they quickly slipped back into their old evil ways. And this happened many times, and because of their forsaking him, Yahweh said he would not any more drive out the nations before them, so that he might prove Israel to see if they would keep his way. This is in verses 18 through 22. So we can visualize the behavior of the Israelites at that time as the waves of the sea. They went up, they sought Yahweh, they went down, they sought evil. They went up, this is constant, consistent throughout their history, up until this very day. So all through the book of Judges, then, we see this pattern. Israel sins against God, it brings suffering upon them, then they repent, turn to God, and he provides a deliverer to save them from their enemies. So let's look now at Judges chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9. And the children of Israel did again evil in the sight of Yahweh when Ehud was dead. And Yahweh sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not Yahweh Elohim of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabez's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for Yahweh shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So Israel had enjoyed a long period of peace under Ehud, one of the judges. But when he died, the people naturally went back, backsliding Israelites, and forgot all that Yahweh had done for them, and soon adopted again many of the idols of the people around them. This time Yahweh punished them by allowing the king of Canaan, Jabin, whose royal residence was the city of Hazor, to overcome them. The Canaanites had a clever captain named Sisera. But what frightened them most, the people of Israel, that is, were his 900 chariots of iron. Sisera mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years, and in their distress, Israel turned to Yahweh. He heard their cry and sent them help, this time through a woman. The fourth judge who ruled over the Jewish people was one of the most famous of all times. Her name was Deborah. Before her were Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar, who ruled for a short time. It was at this time that Yahweh sent them Deborah the prophetess, and she was one of seven women prophets recorded in Scripture. Can anyone name the others? Well, there was Sarah, Miriam, Deborah, of course, Hannah, Abigail, Esther, and Huldah, the wife of Hilkiah, the priest. And that's in 2 Kings 22, verses 14 through 20. Anyway, Deborah ranks among the most famous women in the Hebrew Bible, known to Christians as the Old Testament. Not only known for her wisdom, but Deborah was also known for her courage. She's the only woman of the Hebrew Bible who gained renown on her own merit, not because of her relationship to a man. She was truly remarkable, a judge, a military strategist, a poet, and a prophet. Deborah was only one of four women designated as a prophet in the Hebrew Scriptures, and as such, she was said to transmit the word and the will of God. Although Deborah wasn't a priestess who offered sacrifices, she did lead public worship services. Now, there are very sparse details about Deborah's life. She was one of the Israelite judges prior to the kingdom period that began with Saul. They were called Mishpat judges, an office that traced back to the time when Moses appointed assistants to help him in resolving disputes among the Hebrews, and that was in Exodus 18. Their practice was to seek guidance from Yahweh through prayer and meditation before making a ruling. Therefore, many of the judges also were considered prophets who spoke a word from the Lord. Deborah lived about a century or so after the Hebrews entered the land of Canaan. Now, according to author Joseph Telushkin, in his book Jewish Literacy, the only thing known about Deborah's private life was the name of her husband, Lapidot, or Lapidoth. There is no indication who Deborah's parents were, what kind of work Lapidot did, or whether they had any children. Deborah lived in the mountains of Ephraim, between Ramah and Bethel. In the middle of idolatry and sin, she remained true to Yahweh and his laws. She was wise, and the people flocked to her for advice and for help. And she gave her judgments in the open air under a palm tree. There, where everyone could hear her, she warned the Jewish people and urged them to leave their evil ways and return to Yahweh. Now, it's interesting that Scripture tells us that she didn't judge the people from the gate of the city. Instead, she judged them under a palm tree. So we have to wonder, why is Scripture telling us that? What's unique about the palm tree? Well, according to Barnes' notes, she sat, which means to judge the people, but not in the usual place, which would have been the gate of the city. From ancient times, palm branches were symbols of victory and triumph. The Romans used to reward their champions of the games with palm branches, also military triumph. It seems that the Jews followed the same custom. And we can go back to Leviticus 23 in verse 40 to look at what the ancient Hebrews did. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. So we can see that the Israelites truly followed those customs. So on their festive occasions, they used palm branches. This is what happened during the solemn entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, isn't it? And we find that in John 12, verse 13. Now let's compare John 12, verse 13 with Revelation chapter 7, and verse 9. Tim, would you read that? Revelation 7, verse 9. And I'll read John. Well, we all know the account in John. When the Lord entered the city, people shouted, Hosanna.
Revelation 7, verse 9?
Yep.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands,
Okay, and we'll go to Psalm 92, verse 12. And we read there, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." So significantly, we find palm branches and palm trees in Scripture. Now, characteristic about the palm is that it's a very tall, upright tree, constantly green and flourishing. As the palm stands erect above other trees. So having received instruction from Yahweh, Deborah summoned an Israelite warrior named Barak. Now Barak was Deborah's protege, her second in command. And his name means lightning. But he wouldn't strike until he was ignited by Deborah's power. Deborah and Barak sent out a message to all the tribes of Israel to come and join in an army to fight against Sisera. Altogether, 10,000 men gathered under the leadership of Barak and marched toward Mount Tabor to meet Sisera's army. But Sisera was warned of their approach by a man named Heber and hastily assembled his huge army with all their 900 chariots of iron. Now, Heber comes up later. He's a very important character, although infamous. Deborah told Barak to lead his men down from the mountain, saying, "Up, for this is the day in which Yahweh hath delivered Sisera into thine hand." And Barak said, "If you will go with me, I will go. If not, I will not go." And in the next verse, Deborah agreed to go into battle with the troops, but told him, "However, there will be no glory for you in the course you are taking, for then the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." And at first glance, we figured that might be Deborah, but we read on. Hazor's general Sisera responded to the news of the Israelite uprising by bringing his iron chariots to Mount Tabor. Deborah's battle plan appeared to be just the wrong thing to do, because on the flat country below the mountain, Sisera could drive his chariots against the Israelites, who were all on foot. He would be sure of victory. But Deborah was right. Yahweh was in control. He was fighting for Israel. And he sent a great storm that caused the river Kishon to come down in a flash flood, and the horses and the chariots became bogged in the overflowing mud. So the men of Israel were able to defeat the Canaanites until, as verse 16 reads, not a man was left. But one man, however, managed to escape. That was Sisera, captain of the defeated army. He left his chariot and fled away on foot. He was tired and wanted to hide from Barak. He escaped to the camp of the Kenites, a Bedouin tribe, that traced its heritage back to Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. And Sisera asked for sanctuary in the tent of Jael, wife of the clan leader. So he went. And guess who he found? He found Heber's wife, Jael, and asked if he could shelter in her tent. So she invited him in and gave him milk and curds to drink. And that was a heavy meal at that time, and it caused him to fall asleep. So he laid down, and she covered him with a blanket. And he asked her to stand guard at the door of the tent and let no one know that he was there. And then he fell asleep. He was tired out. Although her husband was friendly with Sisera, Jael sympathized with the Israelites, who had been terribly ill-treated by the Canaanites. So using a tent peg and a hammer, she crept up to Sisera while he slept soundly and dealt him a terrible blow in the head, which killed him. So this enemy of Israel was removed, and the glory of his defeat was taken from Barak and given to a woman, just as Deborah had prophesied. The defeat of the Canaanites caused great joy in Israel, and the victory was celebrated in the words of a song by Deborah and Barak, praising Yahweh, who had fought for them and delivered them from their oppressors. Now, this famous song of Deborah is in many ways just like the one in the song of Moses that he and Israel sang after the miracle at the Red Sea. The extraordinary beauty and charm of her poem make it next to the what they call the Shiron, the song of Moses, the greatest of all poetic songs of gratitude to Yahweh in Scripture. And Deborah begins by praising the men of Israel who consecrated themselves to the war of liberation. Then terror spreads in Israel. Then the people offer themselves willingly. Blessed ye Yahweh. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I unto Yahweh will sing. I will praise unto the Elohim of Israel. Then the prophetess goes on to sing of Yahweh's might in days of old. She describes Israel's trouble under the oppression of the bands of Canaanites when all travel on the highways was abandoned and the people had no weapons with which to defend themselves. So she continues, the rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased until that I did arise, Deborah, that I did arise a mother in Israel. My heart goes out to the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye, Yahweh. And then goes out her war cry, and the tribes gather behind her banner. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. And she rebukes those tribes of Israel who were slow in joining her, preferring to listen to the pipings of the shepherds. In contrast, she holds up the shining example of Zebulun and Naphtali, who offered their lives on the battlefields. Then she describes the terrible battle and the wonderful miracles that helped Israel to victory. So she continues, they fought from heaven, the stars in their courses, fought against Sisera. The brook Kishon swept them away. That ancient brook, the brook Kishon. Oh, my soul, tread them down with strength. In the end, Deborah praises the brave Jael for having, with her own hands, killed the worst of Israel's enemies. And she ends her song of praise to Yahweh with these words. Blessed above women shalt Jael be, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Above women in the tent shall she be blessed. At her feet she sank, he fell, he lay. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there fell he dead. So perish all thine enemies, O Yahweh, but they that love him be as the sun going forth in its might. So Deborah's military goal was accomplished, the oppressors were defeated, and the Jews were free again to live their own life in happiness. Both Deborah and Barak saw to it that the Jews remained loyal to Yahweh, whom they had forsaken during the Canaanite raid. For 40 happy years, the Jews lived in peace under the wise guardianship of Deborah and Barak. So we read the lesson, and we know that it's, of course, about the Israelites. But what about us? What's the lesson in here for us? Matt, you have any thoughts about that?
Still absorbing and
collating. How about you, Cassie? What's the lesson for you and me and Malcolm? Well, during the period of the judges, as we know, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So the lesson for us then is, when we follow Yahweh's way, all goes well. But wickedness and trouble results and resulted when Israel forgot Yahweh and went their own way. The people in the world today do that which is right in their own eyes. And we see this as the cause of wickedness and violence everywhere. So as Christadelphians, we stand aside from this and we seek Yahweh's guidance, for we know from Scripture that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. As we learn from the record of Judges, sin brings suffering, but seeking Yahweh brings salvation.